Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah. Woo! Let's go!
Y'all need to sit back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City, chef.
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, Chef.
Yeah.
Cabby. Taj.
Connecticut. Oh, it is a nice, cool Wednesday, September the 8th in Connecticut, where I'm at. I don't know where you are. You could be anywhere in the world, but you chose to spend your evening with the chefs. It's the Callers Cookout here on the Sports City Chefs Network, bringing it to you live. We're with you for the next 90-plus minutes, usually a couple hours, because once we get to cooking, everybody eats. Everybody eats well. So the call-in number, 929-477-2759. The villain is in the building. But, you know, listen, every good hero needs a villain, and every good villain needs a hero. And I got the best in the business, TP Timeless. TP, what's up, my big brother?
I done took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The Kitchen Timeless is alive. I'm feeling some type of way. Football Eve is here. The games begin tomorrow. And I think it's so cliche to say it, and I can't believe that I'm going to do it. Brady hangs another banner up in a different stadium. He gets another ring in a different stadium. And, oh, yes, he's going up against the Cowboys, so we get to see the Cowboys hit the reset button and see how they look this season. I don't want to talk that bad karma. I just want to see if they can come out and be successful. I think we'll jump into a lot of this talk today. I can't wait. I'm feeling some type of way, but I really can't wait to feel kind of Sunday.
Yeah, listen, Tom Brady hanging another banner. The Cowboys, the only season where they have no chance of finishing 8-8 because it's a 17-game season. So they either up or down. They either 8-9 or 9-8. They can't be 8-8 this year. So. That's a win for the Cowboys. Congratulations. Oh, man. And we also, you know I got to hate, right? You know I got to hate.
No,
hate,
I know. That's why I say you're horrible. I don't know.
hate. The player hate his ball. But we also got from across the pond our big brother, Roger, calling in. Does a great job on the football NFL free-for-all show. Joining us on the Cookout. Roger, how you feeling over there, brother?
Hey, bro. I'm doing good, man. It's just weird how the game has grown so much over the years, you know, doing this with the chefs for some time now. And the TV coverage of the Dallas Cowboys and this Tampa Bay's game is as big as it's ever been. It's just growing as we are as well as a show and, as a community. And I love it, you know. I love the enthusiasm you two showing tonight. And now let's take the season head on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a good start of the season. Now the tradition is to start. The Super Bowl winner gets to open the season on Thursday night. They're pretty much unimpeded, uninterrupted. I mean, like, you know, they're the main event. They get to hang the banner, and you usually get a good game out of the Thursday game before the Sunday starts. I think that tradition started. I think it was probably 10, 11 years ago on Thursday Night Football, and it's been a good look ever since. So they do a great job with it. And we, I got I got to bring in you can't have an NFL preview type of show without Mr. Controversy himself, who will probably go into a long diatribe about how Teddy Bridgewater is a QB1 to be reckoned with. But I'll bring him in anyway. Mr. Controversy, James, how you feeling, James?
First of all, it's not controversial to call Teddy Bridgewater a QB1 because right now he is the QB1 in Denver. So it's not controversial to call him that right now. But, I mean, 8-8 would be an improvement for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, let's not forget that they were 6-10 last year. So, I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, it is Dallas Cowboys.
And listen, it's
they will underperform again this year.
Like I said, James, they can't go 8-8 this year. There's a 17-game season. There's a one extra game. So you're either 8-9 or 9-8. So I'm banking on 8-9 just because I'm a hater. Everybody knows that. TP knows that from a long time ago. So, you know, and we know Cowboy fans. We grew up with them. I have family members that were Cowboy fans. My wife is a converted Giants fan from a Cowboy fan. You know, born again. She's a born again Giants fan. I had to save her, dip her into the waters, and you know, bring her head up, and she saw the light. And said, I seen the light, like the Blues Brothers. Do you see the light? You know, so she's not a Cowboy fan anymore. So they're all over it. They're annoying. We can't get enough of them. But no, listen. Before we get into some NFL talk, I want to really quickly highlight the big news of today, which was the Baseball Hall of Fame inducted four new members this afternoon, highlighted by Derek Jeter and, of course, Larry Walker getting the Hall of Fame nod. they were supposed to, I think, go in last year, but because of COVID, the ceremony was delayed an extra year, so that Hall of Fame class didn't get the chance to get in when they wanted to. So, but listen, I watched most of the speeches. I watched Larry Walker, I watched the great Derek Jeter, you know, and they also enshrined Ted Simmons and Marvin Miller, who was a labor negotiation pioneer. So I listened to his speech as well, and he seems like a very interesting person. But I'd just like to get everybody's opinion on it. Derek Jeter took a couple of shots at, you know, thanking all the writers but the one who didn't vote for him. I thought that was pretty funny. But, TP, I'll start with you. The Hall of Fame, I heard some people kind of coming in saying that, you know, maybe Larry Walker isn't a Hall of Famer. I kind of disagree with that. But, I mean, I'd love to get your opinion on the main two guys that got into the Hall of Fame, Larry Walker and Derek Jeter.
Well, without a question, as much as you know me and you've been going at it for at least 25 years about this punk captain, he's done an incredible job since he came around in the mid-90s and for all that he's been able to bring back to the Bronx, and since he's left, they haven't done anything. They've had that hole of getting that championship back there, and you could bet your bottom dollar that every time he got into the plate, pitchers feared that he would just get a hit. It didn't have to be a home run. It didn't have to be a triple, but he could get a single or a double. This guy is just as dynamic as any of the big-time hitters in the game, and Larry Walker had to be one of the better left-handed hitters and sluggers at a point in time, too. And the historic home run derby when he put his helmet on backwards and was hitting home runs that way too. Class act type of guy. You know, he had that type of personality that flared the you know, the league in general, and definitely the Colorado Rockies when they were on their upbringing. So I give Larry a ton of credit for the run that he's been on. It's been some time to see him get there. And this is what's tough about players and how long they may have to wait to get there, and some that are first ballots. It just, you know, the select few that get in there, and I got to give these guys credit, at least with the two names that have been mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, Larry Walker, it was funny. I heard a take that he's not a Hall of Famer, like I said, and I just disagree. I think in his era, he was an MVP. I think he had over 330 that year, 49 home runs, 130 RBIs. Like, I mean, listen, the guy's an MVP. I mean, just give it a rest. Give him his respect and move on. You don't have to like it. I'd rather have him in there than some other people. So
You know, kudos to him, and you know, shame on anybody who tried to throw salt on his day. It's his day. Let him be. But I'll come to you real quick, controversy. Talk to me about the Hall of Famers, including Derek Jeter and Larry Walker, that got voted in. We got callers in queue. I'm going to get you in, guys. Don't worry.
I mean, I don't have much to say. I think Derek Jeter is the last baseball player that I remember actually watching. I haven't watched baseball in over a decade, so... but I mean, but the real talk is there really one guy who didn't vote for Derek Jeter? And if there is that one guy should lose his ability to vote on the Hall of Fame. It's as simple as that. I mean, there's no possible way that Derek Jeter's not a Hall of Famer. Even I, who have not watched baseball in a long time, know who Derek Jeter is. Have seen Derek Jeter play and can respect what he brought to the game of baseball, and that's about it.
Yeah, the only reason that he didn't vote for him is because he wanted to be that guy, and it was a Boston guy clearly, and it wasn't like a hateful like Boston versus Yankees thing. It was just he wanted to be that guy that didn't vote for Derek Jeter, and it's the most asinine thing I've ever heard in my life. But I mean, TP knows like I do, you love him or hate him, love the Yankees, hate the Yankees, respect is respect. And you just have to know that the guy is a Hall of Famer. His body of work, the way he's been an ambassador to the game, not only on the field, off the field, with the baseball classic as well. The guy, listen, I could be here all day. Roger, give me real quick take on the Hall of Famers that got voted in today. Larry Walker, it's a shame that Montreal team didn't stay together after 1994. They had some bashers out there. Guerrero, Walker, Marquise Grissom, I think, was out there. They had Pedro Martinez. It was a stacked Montreal team that just couldn't get over the hump, and then they eventually moved. But Larry Walker and Derek Jeter are getting voted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, fantastic. Some good documentaries about that team as well, which I enjoyed. Another name that transcends, I think, Derek Jeter, well known in Europe as well as United States, you know, just transcends the world, superstar really. And you know, glad he called out that guy who didn't vote for him, which was you know, good to read earlier. But yeah, I like that he did that in speeches. You've got to call these guys out. I'm guaranteed he was from Boston, right? But Tool out Freeler, Larry Walker, heard a bit about him. Catcher Ted Simmons extraordinaire, just a great bunch of guys, and you know, another great class. And it was the house that, you know, Steinbrenner built. But you know, going into that building, you can see it's like this Derek Jeter had a big part of building that stadium in the Bronx as well. And it's just a special place, and you know, like a mecca of the baseball in many ways. Some might say, some might disagree. That's a big argument. But just a name that transcends, and a legend.
Absolutely. I'm going to bring in some callers, calling in from the 703 by way of Pittsburgh, but reps he reps everywhere. I can never keep up with this guy. Mr. Sirius, Aaron Simmons. Sirius, what's going on, brother?
You know, well, we've been doing this for a while, man. 703-412, that's all I rep, man. I don't know what the 304 I don't know where that came from. That's a Thomas thing. What's up, fellas? How we doing tonight, man?
Oh, we live in large, man. Just kind of getting a little appetizer in for the people so we can get them bellies full, talking about the Baseball Hall of Fame. Inductions happened today with Derek Jeter, Larry Walker, Ted Simmons, and Marvin Miller. Give me your quick take on Derek Jeter and Larry Walker, because those are the marquee names that got voted into the Hall of Fame today.
You know, honestly, man, again, this is going to be kind of backhandish, but, you know, for me, it's a salute to those men for getting in and for having their day. But for me, and again, I don't want to be that guy. But the fact that...
But you are.
You know, Derek Jeter...
But you are.
I am, because I'm that guy. The fact that Derek Jeter and Larry Walker got in honestly shines a bigger light on who's not in as of yet. And that's why. You know, each time this Hall of Fame, especially for Major League Baseball, comes up, deserving players get voted in. Their flowers, let them have their speech, let them have their day, et cetera, rightfully so. But, almost immediately for me, the fact that there are those, we get to hear from Yonatan and Michelle and go down the list of names of people that should be in and that are not, or the people that, are in that should not be. So, again, no disrespect to Gary Jeter, my favorite player, whoever put on a uniform. You know what I'm saying? I played shortstop, growing up. I play shortstop currently for some softball leagues because of Derek Jeter. You know what I'm saying? Larry Walker, salute to that guy for what he was able to accomplish in his career. It's just a slap in the face, in my opinion. And even though we are sitting here congratulating these guys on their day, it just makes me more angry as to how jacked up Major League Baseball is for doing what they've been doing to other players who are deserving of this high honor. We actually had a guy vote for Derek Jeter not to make the Hall of Fame. He had a guy vote for Derek Jeter not to make the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying?
That's what we said.
And I'm sure, he has, or I'm not sure if it's a female, but the person who voted, had their reasoning, and that type of asinine rhetoric and that asinine type of mentality that, we have to deal with. Because, again, if anybody, maybe besides the kid, but if anybody deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, it was Derek F. Jeter. And we had somebody who voted him out or didn't want him to get in for whatever reason. So, again, salute to the two men and, the rest of the men that got voted in. It's just as frustrating to me, fellas.
Yeah, I mean, I want to get to that, but I want to bring a caller in first, calling out of the 615. Mike, Mr. Mike, friend of the program, one of the chefs. Mike, what's going on, brother?
What's up, fellas? So, really quickly, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. made his debut in 1996. That 94 that 94 outfield was Moises Alou in left, Marquise Grissom in center, and Larry Walker in right. It was the that's when they started fire selling everybody off before the next season, and Grissom was traded to Atlanta for Tony Tarasco and Roberto Kelly. So
thank you for correcting me. I knew I made that mistake, and I was waiting to correct it. But thank you, Mike.
I wanted to give props to those three outfielders. So that was a fantastic baseball team. And who knows, you're right, with Pedro Martinez, who knows what would have happened in the playoffs. They had all the pieces. But, a few years later, Seattle won 116 games and broke the regular season record and lost in the playoffs. So who knows? And part of the reason why was because of Derek Jeter. Four championships in 5 years. Gets another one 9 years later. Did everything right on and off the field for the most part. Didn't really hear any issues. Great ambassador to the game, as we talked about. And even the interesting part to me is he wasn't always a loud, brash guy, but he had the respect of everybody in that room. And no matter who they brought in, because the Yankees were always trying to win, they bring in the biggest name in baseball, Alex Rodriguez, and people still try to push that narrative of, controversy between them, and Jeter just kind of rose above all that, right? So, mad respect to him. I'm not a Yankees fan, never have been. And I think that whole thing, the guy that didn't vote for him, it's stupid. And if his voting rights aren't completely revoked, they should be suspended for a year or two. He knew he was going to get in. I think it's that whole adage about how few players have gone in with a 100% vote. And if I'm not mistaken, it's probably less than five.
Mariano Rivera. Mariano Rivera is the only one that was unanimous.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So I think it probably he wanted to be that dude that just kind of bucked that tradition. As far as Larry Walker, quality hitter, before he ever went to Colorado, didn't do bad after, but he had the luxury of spending his prime in Colorado, right? In Mile High and then later Coors Field. But those – he was a pure average hitter as well. Like he hit it for high average, not just for power. That's 340 something with 49 home runs. Not 310, not 285, right? Like, so, you know, he definitely deserves to be there as well. He's one of those guys that, even though he was aided some by his home ballpark, nobody can ever deny the talent that is him. And real quick, it's later on, but in an era where catchers were not that offensive, there were very, very few. Still kind of the case, but Ted Simmons is a quality switch hitter, good catcher even for, like, Whitey Herzog and the Cardinals back in the day. He bounced around to a few different teams, mm-hmm. but Ted Simmons is a rock-solid player for a long time in the league. So kudos to these guys. I'm just glad they're having a ceremony again this year, and these guys are at least getting acknowledged. I actually passed some people in the airport in Atlanta who were flying up there to go to that yesterday. So, I mean, mad respect to these guys, and you're right. I think with any sport, and especially with something surrounding this type of scandal, we could serious, you and I could go on for a while with a serious reasons as to why some of these people didn't get in or who should be in that's not and vice versa. But I think you could do that in almost any sport, but baseball, because of the museum and it's a sport of numbers like that, it probably draws even more attention. I mean, obviously football gets some. We see the Hall of Fame there, but, you know, those are our two biggest ones. Basketball is not as much about just the major leagues, right? So that's a different animal altogether.
Let's not go too far. Baseball is the worst. Baseball is the absolute worst.
I agree with that. 100%.
Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame because he did something outside of the game. Like, this guy has 4,000 plus hits and he's out of the game. Barry Bonds, broke a record.
And Barry Bonds was a Hall of Fame player.
Their drug scandal. So you mean to tell me that there's people not drinking coffee or smoking cigarettes that are in every other sport or in baseball? If you're smoking cigarettes, that's a drug. If you're drinking coffee, that's a drug. If you're drinking a soda, that's a drug.
And how many of them were chewing tobacco on the field that made the Hall of Fame?
I'm just trying to do this briefly. So if you're going to hold these guys out for steroids and things of that nature, all of the heroes and pioneers of this game are sitting on the outside looking in. And I've gone to Las Vegas and I've actually seen and met Pete Rose. And just to hear the history and see it in his eyes, it's like, man, let this guy get in there before he passes away. And that's all they're waiting for him to die and then bring him in there with, like, his granddaughter or something. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, get your stuff together. You guys have more scrutiny than ever.
TP, real quick, Pete Rose usually camps out outside the Hall of Fame during the ceremony and signs autographs and stuff like that. Does anybody know if he did that this year?
I wouldn't put it past him, but that's what he does in Vegas, too.
Yeah, he sits right in the lobby
from the Mandalay going toward, like, the Luxor, and he's sitting outside, like, a sport memorabilia, and you know, they let him do his thing out front, you know, and it's like, this is Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle. Like, y'all got him out here begging for, like, a conversation with people. That's what you doing? And it ain't even about money. It's just his recognition. Like, come on.
Yeah. It's disgusting. I mean, I was in the camp of keeping, like, the steroid guys out, like, years ago, and I've totally flipped my tune. And it's listening to guys like TP and everybody talk about it, but then doing my own due diligence and understanding there's a lot of people that are in the Hall of Fame that if you want to do, like, a personality test or you want to say, hey, did they cheat or not, a lot of people wouldn't be in there. Because, you know, we're talking about doctor in baseball, stealing signs, all that stuff. That's cheating, isn't it? Like, cheating is cheating, right? So I'm in the state, like, they did it, just let them in. And that brings me to my next point. I definitely want to get this around before we get into some football talk. The next eligible list of Hall of Fame eligible players include Carl Crawford, Prince Fielder, Ryan Howard, Tim Lincecum, Joe Nathan, great closer, David Ortiz and Alex Rodriguez are on that list. David Ortiz and Alex Rodriguez were on that list for the steroids when they first did the undisclosed testing for the steroids. Ortiz vehemently denied using steroids and kind of got washed away, but A-Rod was on the list, and then he's also come out in later years and admitting to doing steroids. Barry Bonds, his last year of eligibility is this coming year. Guys like him and a seven-time Cy Young Award winner and Roger Clemens not in yet. TP, do those guys get in on this next vote? And if they don't get in, what percentage of the vote? Because I think you need 75% of the vote to get in. If Ortiz or A-Rod don't get in, what percentage of the vote do you think they would get?
None of them are getting in. They're going to continue to play this bull crap with these guys. I don't care what name it is. If they let one in, they better just have a busload of them that need to come in right behind them. A busload.
Right.
Mark McGwire better be right behind it. Sosa better be right behind it. I mean, David Ortiz is going to be facing this. Manny Ramirez. Like, all these guys are missing.
Yeah.
Like, all of them. This is bad that this is what baseball looks like, that they're just good players. And they're not great. And other people are in the Hall of Fame that aren't better than the names that they have sitting out of here. And Barry Bonds is one of them. Like, Barry Bonds will probably crush three-quarters of that hall in Cooperstown. I mean, probably more. But if this is what they have to deal with, good luck, MLB.
So to you,
honestly, the only names I can see coming in is Jimmy Rollins, maybe Joe Nathan. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. Tim Lincecum is a two-time Cy Young. He's borderline.
He's not a Hall of Famer because of how he fell apart.
Why isn't Joe Nathan a Hall of Famer?
I'm saying Lincecum's not a Hall of Famer.
No,
yeah,
Barry,
I don't think he is.
Joe Nathan is not a Hall of Famer.
Joe Nathan, yeah.
No, I think he's borderline. I kind of lean that he's not. I think he's borderline. I think, you know what? No, you know what? You're right. I think out of the great closers, I don't think he's in the upper echelon of closers, but I think he's right there. I would think he would get in. I think he would get in. I think he gets in. Seriously, did you have something to say?
This is the hate I have to deal with, y'all. It's going to be forever.
It's not hate. It has nothing to do with the Twins. I just, when I look
yes,
at them,
that's
I
why
don't
you're
see
stuttering.
Hall
People
of Famer.
He's stuttering.
No, stuttering. I'm not stuttering. I just think six-time All-Star, 16 seasons. Where does he finish it with saves? I think he's 377. I think he's eighth on the all-time saves list. So that's like
stop the cap. He's getting in, and you know it.
He's top ten, Barry, and you're saying no?
Okay, all right.
Come on,
he's in.
Barry.
Serious. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, so to answer your question, bro, I don't think that Barry Bonds gets in on his last year eligibility. I don't think A-Rod gets in for the very same reason. It's just, again, you know, I'm throwing my hands up, bro. Like, we don't know. Like, I wish I had an answer to the question. I wish we had some type of, you know, situation where we could figure out the reason as to why. Like, this is that pissed me off. Again, part of my language. This is that really makes me mad. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't let these guys in, but you don't give a reason as to why. Like, we're sitting here guessing. Like, we're sitting here, you know, trying to, you know, puzzle piece this thing together. You know, and it's frustrating. Like, if you're going to keep a man out of the Hall of Fame, at least have enough balls about yourself to be like, you know what, yeah, I voted no because X, Y, Z reasons or this, that, and the third. Like, now we're smart enough to kind of figure it out and understand, you know, this guy was a part of the steroid era, and this guy, you know, was betting on games or whatever case may be. Like, we're smart enough to figure that out, but at the end of the day, like, there should be no reason as to why somebody like a Barry Bonds isn't in the Hall of Fame. There should be no reason as to why somebody like a Sammy Sosa is not in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose, like my man TP alluded to, is sitting in Vegas, you know what I'm saying, you know, just trying to talk to people and, you know, whatever the case may be. They're going to put this man in after he passes away. Why? If you don't love me and give me flowers while I'm alive, don't try to give me flowers while I'm dead. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? It is, you know, this whole thing pissed me off, and I'm mad at myself for bringing it to the table, but it is what it is, man. And this Hall of Fame stuff annoys me to no end.
Man, real quick.
Go ahead, Mike.
I think if I think if you're going to let any of these guys in, like Ortiz and Alex Rodriguez, you better let Barry Bonds in first, because Barry Bonds was the best player in the game before he ever even took any juice. Pete Rose, one of the most pure hitters. Those two guys have to be there. I can tell you that out of the other names that you mentioned, I think they all should be. The two least likely of those to me are Sosa and McGuire, because I think they were one-trick ponies and weren't very good all-around players to me, and or struck out too much for my liking. I would still put them in, but I don't think Sammy Sosa is quite the complete player that, say, a Manny Ramirez or Alex Rodriguez or even the complete hitter as that David Ortiz was.
I see Say that again, Sirius.
You didn't think McGuire was a complete player?
No, I don't. He hit home runs. And
that dude played.
And even when he was skinny.
I
still think he was average over there. I think some of that was based on that name too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, and Sirius brings up a great point. And like, you know, it's one of these songs that I actually like listening to, by Sky Zoo, Bodega Flowers. Like, I want flowers, but I don't want to tell you I want flowers, because then you're gonna get me flowers because I want flowers. But I want you to give me flowers because I want flowers. I shouldn't have to tell you how much I want flowers. Give these guys some flowers, you know. But don't you know what I mean? Like, it's a complex way of thinking about getting flowers. Mr. Controversy, I hope you're still there. I'd love to get your opinion. I know you don't watch much baseball, but this goes back a little bit ways, back to when you used to watch baseball back in the olden days when Teddy Bridgewater was in college. Let me know, does Ortiz, A-Rod, or any of the alleged steroids guys get in? Is he there? I don't know if he's there. Take yourself off mute.
You said me?
Oh.
No,
Mr. Controversy.
Greenwood.
Oh, okay. So my short and sweet opinion on this is that it's called the steroid era for a reason. Just because the guy didn't get caught doesn't mean that they didn't juice up, you know? So unless you're going to blackball the whole era, then just start letting him in. That's my opinion, long and short of it. Like, I mean, I'm a fan of football. I love the sport. I know people are juicing. I know they're taking HGH. I know they're taking not every single one of these guys. A good number of these guys are taking some sort of performance enhancer. I know this. I don't like it particularly, but I know they're doing it. So I'm not going to single out one guy here, one guy there who are doing it, when it's pretty well known that at least half the league is doing it. And in that report that named Alex Rodriguez, they said probably 2/3 of the league doing it. I mean, it was pretty cut and clear that 2/3 of the league was doing steroids during the steroid era. So, are you just going to punish the ones that got caught? That doesn't seem right to me. So, just call for what it is. Put an asterisk on it if you want. That's fine. They've been putting an asterisk all over everything Barry Bonds touched since he got found out. What's one more? But at least give him the dignity of what he brought to the game. He actually made baseball interesting for, like, a season or two. So give the man what he deserves.
Give him his flowers. Rodri, give me your opinion from across the pond. A-Rod and Ortiz, along with some others, are eligible. Barry Bonds' last year of eligibility, does he get in?
I mean, you look at baseball, and to me, when it was most interesting, it was when McGuire and Bonds, or when it was most interesting in recent years, was when McGuire and Bonds were chasing our record, and they were both hitting them out of the park for fun, you know, for months. And I think baseball was in a limit there everywhere. I think even in America, it was ghosting more than American football at the time and stuff like that. And it was America's sport, they were saying. But it's like, you got to remember who's voting to get these guys in the Hall of Fame. These the guys that's voting to bring these players in are guys who own records or know guys who got records, set records themselves. They ain't going to have no – if somebody's cheating, then they're going to pick them out. There's no way you're breaking my record if you take your steroids type of thing. And that's being pushed. So they're not going to let these guys in the Hall of Fame. Yes, per an asterisk next week. We've been talking about that for 20 years now. It's like this – you know, Pete Rose is sitting out there selling autographs outside the shop. It's terrible. That's just so sad. And to think it's just sports betting that he was doing. I mean, you know, you tell me a player who hasn't given a couple of grand to somebody to go and put a bet on for him. You know, it just happens everywhere in every sport. Sad. You know, he wasn't fixing games. He wasn't doing anything terrible to harm the game. It's just somebody added in for him. Somebody hated him, and it just spilled over. Look, there's a lot of power. A lot of people in that game have got a lot of power, and it's a very, very institutionalized sport when you look at the heads of it, who owns it, who runs it, you know, the Steinbrenners of the world and people like that. They have got a lot of control over who goes into the Hall of Fame, who gets banned for, you know, for life, and who has asterisks by their name. They're the guys who control that, and the fans have just got opinions, you know, that's it. They don't control nothing. It's the same as football. You look at football, you take steroids of football, you're looking at a 4-game ban, and that's it. You know, it's the same in rugby. You do it in rugby in the UK, your name's in the paper, you're shamed, you know. You're almost shamed and banned for a few seasons. So it's, you know, it's terrible. And then you've got the Russian scandal and things like that, the Balco and things. It just goes on and on. And it's different in every sport because the different heads of that sport look at it different and run it different. And baseball is a sport where, you know, when you can hit a home run because of steroids, then it's a big part of the game, right? And I think that's why it's taken so seriously, and that's what we're seeing, basically.
Because baseball really clings to the past, and numbers really define baseball, right? Like, we don't necessarily know the single season rushing record number, but you know, if I said the number 61, you know what that's the home run record, right? If I said, you know, 744, that's Hank Aaron, the all-time home run. You know, so numbers matter. So they just put it – they just make it so that these guys that broke these records and then had a little taint on them, they have to, you know, they have to put their foot down. I've said it millions of times. Everybody had their hand out. Like, not only did the players get rich, the league got rich. They were down for a long time after the strike. They benefited just as much as the players. They turned a blind eye. It wasn't like the guys are just, you know, juicing and sticking needles in each other in the clubhouse and all this stuff. They were using performance, you know, enhancing stuff that, you know, at one point was legal, then turned out to be illegal. Okay, but you know, they make it sound so bad, and they had to get called out. They had to get called out by Congress before they did anything about it. Let's be clear about it. You know what I mean? And Pete Rose, it's not that he gambled. It's that he lied about it. And they're still slapping his hand because he lied about it. And we know he didn't gamble on his own team. He didn't fix games. He just lied about it. And that was the problem. It wasn't that he gambled. It was that he lied about it. So, you know, it's the baseball gods want to be holier than thou. And it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Go ahead. Somebody wanted to chime in. Go ahead.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Real quick. If baseball don't figure it out, though, for the future of the game, we're going to have a much bigger issue than the Hall of Fame thing, because if they mess around and strike again next year with all the other options that are out there, if they don't get this player agreement figured out or this collective bargaining agreement figured out, it could do to baseball what it almost did in 1994.
Yeah. And there's a long way to catch up with how much money basketball, football is bringing in. Soccer is a global sport, but guess what? It's coming in the U.S. It's getting more and more popular by the day. And hockey doesn't have the kind of revenue streams that the big sports has, but, you know, it's easy to really just turn away from baseball. It's a big moneymaker. But it's boring as it is. I mean, like, I love watching baseball because I'm a purist. I've watched it for a long time, but it's hard to get a casual, you know, person to invest in a game as opposed to a basketball or football game. So to your point, Mike, you're absolutely right. They're walking a fine line. So we'll see how it goes. And their stars aren't super bankable. We talked about it on the Baseball Buffet on Thursday nights. Like, you know, football has stars like Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Basketball, obviously, stars on every team. Baseball, I mean, you know of Ohtani and Trout and Judge, but, I mean, are those guys really as marketable as LeBron or Giannis or any of these guys or Steph Curry? Not really. I don't know. I don't think so. So they better get it together. But call in number 929-477-2759. The callers cook out. Got a full house here. Talking some Hall of Fame baseball. I'm going to switch gears to the football season that is upon us. Big game tomorrow, opening up the season, as TP said, at the open of the show, Tampa Bay Bucks versus the Dallas Cowboys. I want to take two angles on both teams, and then we can talk about the game. So I want to obviously start with the defending champs, bringing back all 22 starters on that team. Got off to a slow start last year in 2020, figured it out, and then once they did not lose, and they were pretty unstoppable. Even though they got swept twice by the New Orleans Saints, when it came time in the playoffs, Bruce Arians figured out how to play with Tom Brady. The offense clicked, the defense pinned their ears back, and they were unstoppable. Now they bring that whole team back for a full season with training camp and preseason games. TP Timeless, I'm going to start with you, big brother. Are the Bucks the favorites to repeat as Super Bowl champions? Nobody's repeated since Tom Brady's Patriots in 2003, I think it was. That's the last team to repeat as Super Bowl champions. Are the Bucks the favorites to repeat?
So since Barry likes wrestling, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to use the slogan that he should know so well. And there's a lot of people here that may know the same slogan too. In order to be the man, you got to beat the man. And right now,
woo!
He's motivated to you already know the rest of it. You know what I'm saying? I think he's motivated more than ever to just try and get championships and get as many as he can. And he's hanging out with Michael Jordan, so I can only imagine what Mike is telling him. Like, put up as much as you can before you leave, because you're going to regret it when you retire and still feel like you got something in your tank and you're going to want to go out there and prove something and can't do it anymore. That's why he's at the age of 44 going into this season, and it's all guns a-blazing, and everything came back to him. And Arians is a coach that listens to him, and not being in a system that they feel like the more or less the management, the front office, and the coaching staff have way more power than the player, but they respect one, and that was him. This is something that I wanted to throw around the cookout and see how you guys felt about it. If Brady loses and doesn't finish the season with the Super Bowl win, or does he get his number retired in their Ring of Honor in Tampa Bay? Does that happen after a season or two of play? And it's like, what else could he do to make this situation better, to get all of them to buy in, similar to what has happened in New England, where none of them guys in New England really chase money. They chase the rings and to bring the Lombardi back. And I feel like everything's a go if they can keep everybody healthy. That's what everything relies on. If barring injury or barring their health issues, I think Tampa Bay is clear cut to get to at the least bit second round of the playoffs. Definitely the conference championship. And if it's Brady, I mean, I don't even want to give him nothing else to work off of, because it feels like when we say, oh, he's not going to get eight, he'll get eight, and then we're mad as ever. So leave him alone. Let them see the sunset and walk to it. That's it. Just leave him alone. Don't wake him up. Leave him alone.
Yeah, he's going for the chips, man. And he's talking about playing a couple more years. I mean, more power to him if he absolutely can. Mr. Controversy, I'll let you take TP's question, then you can answer mine. But are the Bucks the favorites this year? And that's James pointing to you. Come off mute if you're on mute. Because we do that all the time. I don't think he's that. Sirius, I'll ask you, Sirius, with the Bucks, are they the favorites this year to win it, to repeat as champions? And does Tom Brady keep chasing those rings?
Yo, honestly, to be painfully honest with you, I don't see a path to them losing. I really don't. You know, it's funny that, you know, they returned everybody. And when I mean everybody, I mean everybody.
22
stars. I just don't see a path to them losing. You know, I mean, it all kicks off tomorrow. There hasn't really been a repeat champion, and we all know what they're up against. And you know, as if the bullseye needs to be any bigger, and this, that, and the third. Again, everybody uses the cliche to knock these guys off, but unfortunately, I don't see how they lose barring injury to, you know, Tom Brady or something like that. You know, if Tom Brady unfortunately goes down, then, you know, unfortunately that I think that's where they may, you know, get derailed. But other than that, I just don't see it, man. I have a hard time saying that.
The answer to both questions, I think, is quick and simple, and that is you got to have – it's a Kansas City being able to protect the quarterback away from possibly being in trouble with all the weapons that they have. But, you know, they should be in line to get there, like you said, if everybody's healthy. And I think maybe it takes one more ring time, depending on how many years he plays there. But even if you only play there 3 or 4 years or whatever, if you come in and you double the number of rings this franchise has ever won, then, yeah, unless Brady feels some kind of way about it, then, yeah, I think he definitely has to be retired into the minimum on it.
I don't know how you would say he's not the greatest quarterback in Tampa Bay history. I don't know who else you could put. I mean, who else? What, Brad Johnson, who's got a Super
Trent
Bowl
Dilfer.
Ring?
Trent Dilfer.
Trent Dilfer. I mean, who else? Yeah, Vinny Testaverde. Who else in Tampa Bay? I mean, Winston put up nice numbers, but you could argue that I would take Tom Brady in that uniform. Don't take away the Patriots uniform, right? In a Bucs uniform, if he plays a couple more years, but if he wins another Super Bowl, how could you not say he's not the greatest Bucs quarterback in history? And that's just, you know, maybe an indictment on who they had before, but, you know.
Nah, you're right. I mean, because other guys had a little bit of time there, but not the right pieces around them and not the right environment. I mean, I think Doug Williams took a few snaps there. I think Steve Young was around that Tampa franchise for a little while. So, I mean, I think there were other guys who, you know, did some things in their career. But, like, you know, for every one of those guys, you also have a Sean King and other guys who, I mean, they were able to win, but let's be honest, it was less than average play at the quarterback position. And there were times that defense with Warren Sapp and Booger McFarland and all those guys coached by Tony Dungy won in spite of their quarterback. And that also led teams to believe they could win and did with mediocre quarterbacks at times throughout that time. I cite Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer.
I mean, they will put him in the Ring of Honor. They will. Why wouldn't they? You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't they celebrate the guy and get butts in the seats? The guy has done everything you could have asked for when you brought him in. Why wouldn't you put him in the Ring of Honor? But I mean, Roger, I'll ask you: are the Bucks the favorite this year? And I mean, does Tom Brady get in the Ring of Honor if another chip or not? Should he be in the Ring of Honor in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I think he's turned the franchise around. He's done as much as what a lot of quarterbacks that aren't in Ring of Honors have done. I mean, you've got to take for instance, can you be in 2 Ring of Honors or 3 Ring of Honors? Then if so, then yeah. I mean, because New England are definitely going to have him enshrined up there. They might name a stadium after him or put a statue outside. You know, who knows? He pretty much called his shots. I think he's earned that. I think it's Kansas City's year. I think Kansas City have done enough. If they meet again in the Super Bowl, that is. And you've got to think, in a COVID year, that's the question. Can you get through this year with COVID? And how is it going to impact people? Tampa Bay's defense is outstanding in the playoffs. I think a lot of people missed that fact. It was like their pass rush was one of the best. Pierre Paul and, you know, Chuck Barrett, and you got to look at they drafted Tryon number one, so their pass rushes just got better, and like TP and you mentioned stuff by they just bringing everybody back and added, so it's like that team's ready to roll. Can defenses look? They've had a preseason of game film and getting together. It's going to be a lot different than what we've seen last year. I think defense is going to be a lot better, but look, it's 17 game season. I mean, it's a heck of a ride, right? And it's going to be, I think records are going to be broke. Brady's definitely going to have a chance to break a lot of them. And we're going to see, because it was rough, it got rough. Remember they lost in Chicago and this like that last year, and he thought it was fourth mm-hmm. down when it was third down and stuff. I mean, he was some bumps in the road last year, and we've got to take that into consideration. Those things can happen again. And, you know, you see people, they say, yeah, definitely, they can win it one day, and then he has a bad performance or the team doesn't play well, and the next day it's like no chance, and then a week after they're saying he can do it again. So, you know, let's see what's going to put in the proof talk for itself, I think. But it definitely, you know, it's Tom Brady. I mean, he's won everywhere he's been. I love the fact that Belichick has built that team back up. To answer TP's questions as well, I think, yeah, he carries on, and, you know, that avocado ice cream's doing a great job, obviously, and what a player, you know. But not for me, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league right now, and I think the Chiefs have done a job. I think the Chiefs are the best in the league.
I mean, I agree. I think, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, if they're healthy, would give the Bucs a run for their money and could possibly beat them in the Super Bowl. But, yeah, I mean, the Bucs are favorites. They're favorites to get there. I think the GM, Jason Light deserves a raise. I said it in my review of the NFC South. That's on sportscitychefs.com. Go read the blogs that we posted. I said, bringing back David, bringing back Barrett and Sue, I thought Shaquille Barrett was going to get a big contract somewhere else. And he was able to sign him back. That's a huge swing. And then on top of that, extend JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, friend of the program. And then think about it. Their number one draft pick or their top draft pick from last year missed, I think, 13 or so games. He's coming back to an already stacked defensive line. It's like Sirius said, it's going to be hard to keep them out. I mean, I'll leave this as an open-ended question. Who in the NFC can realistically challenge this team? Who is ready to challenge this Bucs team for the NFC crown and for a trip to the Super Bowl? I'll leave it to anybody to answer.
Well, the Packers are the only team. I think it's Green Bay.
You got Green Bay?
Right, yeah, Green Bay.
What do you say, Sirius?
That's the only one. Especially with the threat that Aaron Rodgers put out, oh, I'm leaving at the draft, and then he comes back with, oh, just bring me Randall Cobb, and I get there. Aaron Rodgers does not get to a Super Bowl and win with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Randall Cobb, he has more than just answers to fill of him leaving a team. He's going to have to get it somewhere else wherever he ends up going. There's enough excuses mm-hmm. for him to make it happen in another decade, and him being a bad man and three-time MVP. So, and listen, there's no more excuses. This is all you wanted was Randall Cobb. You made no more hay about getting anybody else there to help you. So I don't want to hear it.
That's a good point. Remember, Ty, how that game ended in the playoffs, right? Oh. That Green Bay-Tampa Bay game, how that ended in the playoffs. You know, they got a lot to answer for, but they're Green Bay, so looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. I think, Sirius, you had a team, too? I think you said Green Bay?
Yeah, that's the only team that I can foresee having an issue, giving them some type of issue. I'm going to throw a dark horse out there. I'm going to preface my fan that's a dark horse. It is a dark horse. But the one game where Tom Brady did not look himself was against Washington. That defense is something to play with. Ain't nothing to play with. So, again, we're all sitting here saying if a team could ever unseat them and blah, 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 you know, I don't foresee it happening, but if the team could do it, potentially Washington, they can catch fire and the lightning in the bottle, but that's stretching it.
I think Washington's defense is really good. It's just that the offense is so far behind that defense. I don't know if they can score enough points to make it to a point to challenge the Bucks in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? I like the Rams. I think that offense, it's a make or break year for Sean McVay. Cause basically I think we all said it, they hung Jared Goff out to dry and they basically blamed everything that happened to them, winning the Super Bowl and then getting back to a Super Bowl on Jared Goff by trading him. They basically hung it on him. So now he's not here. Now you got Matt Stafford, you got the quarterback you wanted on that offense and a stout defense with Jalen Ramsey and company and Aaron Donald, it's just a freak of nature, a super freak. I mean, if they don't get there, Sean McVay, the hot candidate, the hot commodity at coach, might be out of a job. So, but I think the Rams are good enough. If their thing was consistency. They weren't consistent. I saw them dominate games and then like look like they had trouble with the Giants at home. You know, that's the inconsistency I saw from the Rams. If they're consistent enough, they can give the Bucs a lot of problems. Go ahead.
Before you go any further, Stafford is the piece to get them to the Super Bowl or beat Brady. Do you know how many times Brady has beaten this dude? And the crazy part about it is you're right, the inconsistencies of the Rams. Do you know the Los Angeles Rams were the team that lost that first game to the Jets when the Jets were tanking?
Yes,
it is not
exactly.
All on Aaron It is not all on Aaron Donald. It is not all on Jalen Ramsey. And Matt Stafford just did not fall behind center to just say, oh, we're getting to a Super Bowl because I'm here now. Like, McVay is in a comfortable spot. I don't think he's on the hot seat if they don't get to a Super Bowl or NFC Championship. If he's making them playoff relevant, I think that's good. But everybody's so enamored with seeing Stafford on a new team and just thinking that he's going to carry them to a Super Bowl. If he gets there, that's great. Then I have to apologize. But I've seen too much of him with a lot of letdowns and miscues before we just say, oh, he's going to be Super Bowl relevant with receivers like Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, who are just as adequate as Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones, just as adequate.
Well,
go ahead, Mike.
So the interesting thing to me is I think anybody could win that West. I don't really think there's a bad team in the NFC West that could beat up on each other. I do think that probably the strongest unit in that entire division is probably the defense of the Rams. So that's a team that, if they can put enough together, I think they're going to miss Cam Akers. I know they got some other guys to play running back. But from what he finally started to show down the second half of last year, he showed some next-level explosiveness that can help put a team over the top. So maybe this is not that year. But now I think if they were to finish last in that division or something and not be a playoff team, that team gets pretty hot pretty quickly for him. And it's not out of the realm of possibility that, you know, a team that a lot of people think will do well could end up finishing towards the bottom of that league. I still think it's going to be Arizona because even though I think Murray's going to give you some stats to produce at times, I think that they added a couple pieces on that defense, but that's still the most green and less NFL – the guy that spent the least amount of time in the NFL as a coach. So when it comes down to coaching, I wonder about Arizona. But that's a tough division. Anybody could win it. And so to me, it's Green Bay or somebody out of the West. And I think it's probably the Rams if they get enough consistency, you know, across the board. But I worry about their ability, kind of like I do the Titans in the AFC. I think they could beat anybody one week. I worry about their ability to put together two or three good performances to be able to really win a championship.
The West, the NFC West, to me, is the best division in football. And I worry, to your point, are they going to beat each other up so much that they might not have enough left to hang with the Packers or hang with the Bucks? You know what I mean? We'll see. But that division from top to bottom, the worst team, quote unquote, in that division is the Cardinals. And the Cardinals are as good as any team with that defensive line with J.J. Watt and company. Chandler Jones. I mean, they got offensive weapons galore. They're a scary team too. So, you know, listen, that's me. I don't know, Roger. Did you give a team that you think could challenge the Bucks in the NFC?
Yeah, Green Bay. I just remember the playoffs, you know. But like you said, I mean, all those points, great. And it's like in the NFC West, we're just waiting for something to click. I mean, if Arizona's offense clicked, this is a new breed of offense now coming in from college. You know, Cliff Kingsbury and Zach Taylor and those guys on the Sean McVay. You know, the tree Sean McVay is leading now, and you know, with LaFleur and things like that. It's like these offenses are what we can expect. And it's, you know, Kyler Murray, you know, are you going to, what was he, you know, just show us something, you know? Because last year, Arizona, I just wanted them to just break out, you know, and they wouldn't win those close games. So have they overcome that hurdle? Are they ready to do it? I think they possibly are.
I hope so. I like watching Kyler Murray play. Guy, sorry.
Yeah, like
yeah.
You said,
I mean,
like,
I like
the great.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest fear with the Rams is that offensive line tie. I know you said like Matt Stafford. We know, you know, is that Rams offensive line solid enough? I think they've proved that times they have been, but are they? You know, can they lead? Maybe that team with an injured running back, you know. So you know, there's questions everywhere, guys. So we know that there's questions everywhere.
Well, their offensive line is now a year older. Like they were already old last year. Like they're getting older now with all of the guys up front. So I want to see if they can continue to keep him upright. And Stafford is back in the same scenario. He has no running back behind him now. Cam Akers is done for the season. The backup is actually questionable at this point in time. Like, we will actually see Stafford back into the same scenario, just a different city, and hopefully he can overcome it. Man, it's been so many different seasons of him having to prove himself and him fall short. And, I mean, if he goes from that bad in Detroit to get to a Super Bowl in Los Angeles, I will tip my hat and definitely apologize. But I don't think that they have enough guns to go to war with Tom Brady, Leonard Fournette, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Gronkowski, and then they get O.J. Howard back, a 6'8 dinosaur that could run. Like, this, that's crazy. Like I get it. They got Aaron Donald up front, and they got Jalen, but they got linebackers and nickelbacks are going to have to deal with all of that. They got it. Man, it's going to be tough to stop Tom Brady and an artillery of offense. But I don't think the Rams have that. I don't.
And
Scotty
Miller and Tyler Johnson as well. It's crazy, man. It
you're
is,
helping, you're
know,
helping me.
Worst.
Thank you. Thank you. Scotty Miller, too, right? Thank you.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Kristen Wirfs is a rookie. Yeah, Kristen Wirfs as well on the offensive line. Didn't give up a sack last year. You know, Jensen and that line is just so strong as well. I mean, they put that together knowing that Tom Brady was coming in. Byron Leftwich as a coach, phenomenal, I think. And I don't think that can be overlooked. You know, and you look at what Arians have done with all the quarterbacks in the league, Ben Roethlisberger, Kurt Warner. You know, he's took them to the promised land, Peyton Manning he worked with. He says this, Brady knew what he was walking into. You know, he was breaking into houses in Florida at the start of a pandemic, actually broke into Byron Leftwich's house to get the playbook and stuff like that. That's how eager he was. And he's, to me, the biggest story in all this is that he's separated himself from Belichick, you know, because that's what I think he needed to do to cement his legacy. And now it's kind of a different legacy. And that's why we're talking about having him in a circle of honor. That's just, it's crazy, right? I mean, it is, to think of his story. And I don't want to get into that because that's another show altogether. But I mean, just the story from Michigan and how he came into the league, 199, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
I mean, and with Tampa Bay, they have probably the most diverse coaching staff, but one of the best coaching staffs. Not only with Byron Leftwich, which is a really good offensive coordinator, Todd Bowles is a heck of a defensive coordinator. Head coach, meh, but a heck of a good defensive coordinator. And one thing I mentioned in my blog, too, that all the embarrassment of riches, to TP's point, O.J. Howard coming back from injury, they did sign Giovanni Bernard. That's a sneaky good running back to have as an upgrade over LeSean McCoy. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just and they have one of the better offensive lines in the league. Sirius's little quote rings true. They're going to be tough to not have them as Super Bowl favorites. If you don't have them as Super Bowl favorites, I would love to know why. You know what I mean? Because it's hard not to have them there. And to TV point, you, to be the man, woo, you got to beat the man. So good luck trying to beat the man. But one team that we didn't mention as a possible threat to the Tampa Bay Bucs are those Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys.
Why not?
Oh man, it's begun, Sirius. It's begun. Yeah, you know I gotta get it in. The Dallas Cowboys. No, seriously. They are if everything goes right, you know, if there's a lot of ifs, if the defense can get better in the back end, if they can get healthier on the offensive line, if Dan Quinn can improve the defense, if Dak Prescott is healthy with his shoulder, if Ezekiel Elliott remembers that he is a running back and he can actually run the ball instead of just signing a check. This, if Cooper remembers that he's a, you know, it's like ifs, but they're the most talented team in the NFC East, top to bottom. I'll come to you, Sirius. I'll come to you first, brother. The Dallas Cowboys, what's their ceiling?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I think their ceiling for them will be a conference final. I think that would be their ceiling because, again, you kind of laid it out. You know, this team, honestly, is arguably one of the most talented in the NFC, you know, from top to bottom. When you just start talking about just quarterbacks and receivers and running backs and et cetera, et cetera. They got the fancy schmancy new, you know, stadium, you know, with the Megatron and all that sort of stuff. So I think if everything comes together, you know what I'm saying, this team can make a deep playoff run and annoy myself and everybody sitting here in the building. Now, will that happen? I highly doubt it because, once again, this is Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, and if there's a way to mess stuff up, believe me, they will find it. However, I think the Dallas Cowboys ceiling will be a conference, you know, championship appearance, whether they win it or not. That, again, you're going to have to get to the Bucks, but I think that would be their ceiling.
Mr. Harvey, Mike, I'll ask you, you know, do you agree with Sirius? Is their ceiling in conference final? Are we giving the Cowboys too much credit? Are they a little worse than that? I'd love to see a 8-9 season out of the Cowboys because that's just what villains love to see. But, I mean,
I think they're
what do you think is
the
ceiling?
Division.
Okay.
I think they're fortunate if they can win the division. I mean, maybe you get out of a first round in the playoffs depending on who you're matched up against, but I don't think there's – they're obviously not going to compete with Tampa. Maybe tomorrow in the hype of rain night and whatever. They're not going to compete with them. They're not better than Green Bay. They're not going to be as good. I mean, they may not be a playoff team. The thing is, one team in that division has to make the playoffs, and I'm not sure if the team that does make it is as good as all the other playoff teams that are there. So we'll see. But I think their ceiling is a division title and a first-round playoff win.
TP, what do you think about those Dallas Cowboys, them boys? Are they? Can they get a conference final? I mean, can they just win the division? I mean, I think they could definitely win the division. And if you're if you win the division, you get a home game, and you know maybe you might get a bye depending on how things break. You know, who knows? Two games, you might find yourself there. What do you think, TP? How good can the Cowboys be this year?
Echo what Aaron said, NFC Championship game or Super Bowl, I think that's the ceiling that they can get. They have a lot of potential, at least offensively across the board. CeeDee Lamb is becoming more dynamic. I don't want to take too much away from them. But the one thing I am concerned about and I am nowhere near a Cowboy fan at all. I didn't like this one bit. But I just want to see River Dakota Prescott take a snap, do a three-step or a five-step or a seven-step drop. I want to see him play and throw. That's all I want. And they're saying that he looks good, but it broke my heart to see his ankle or foot, however we look at it, break off. Like, that literally was off of his leg. Like, disgusted. And I don't wish injury on anybody, but just to see that happen raw, and I know I was watching that game live, it wasn't like, oh, well, here's some breaking news, check this play out. No, I was watching that happen, and I started screaming in the bar, oh, my God, and everybody didn't see it as quick as I saw it. But I saw it, and everybody started turning their head, walking outside the bar like, oh, my goodness, we can't. I just want to see if this guy's all right. Then I could go back and be, you know, the guy that's talking junk or, you know, whoever going after Cowboys and so on and so forth. But I just want to be fair to a quarterback that went through so much and has this team on his back. And now with him going through so much, they really needed him. And they threw the whole bank at him. And he's going to have to prove it, like, now because he's locked up so much money in this contract. I understand that there's a necessity for him. I understand that this is America's team. But he better be able to give it a go because barring any injury, they can get as high as those championship games. If he doesn't look good, if he's shaky or he's worried about his leg, this could be a down season. I think they could end up finishing like close to or below 500 if he's considering just worrying, nursing that every day or every game. So I feel like they got a lot on their side, especially with the claim that Amari Cooper made just yesterday.
I wanted to get to that.
He's the best. He's the best receiver in the NFL, and I'm stunned. I'm stunned. So we'll see how this goes down.
I wanted to get to that, but I wanted to get through this one first because that definitely came at the top of my Twitter feed. Rodri, I'll come to you. What's the ceiling for the Dallas Cowboys? Do you think they – like the panel kind of agrees that they can possibly get to a conference final, or is the division the best that they can hope for?
Well, I think once somebody said it once, didn't they? There is no ceiling. That's why they got a hole in the roof, so God can watch them play, right? What they say. But anyway, Jerry Jones as well. I mean, it's the richest team in sports. They got Thursday night football for a reason. Like they got the opening game of the season, and they scraped that division had four teams with a losing record last year, and the year before wasn't much better. I mean, honestly, it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's not even a competitive division. I just want to see somebody win that division and win it well because it hasn't happened. I mean, their biggest problem for me has been since Travis Frederick got injured since then. That offensive line and how much Zeke needed that to run behind, I think that's underrated. And, like, without that, without Zeke running the ball, they struggle. They got Tyler Biadasz in from Wisconsin, who I really like as a center now. I'm hoping he can sort of anchor them. And Nick Martin's out tomorrow, I know. So that's a massive loss for them. But they got Tyson Smith back, and they got Lael Collins back, which is huge. They didn't have those guys last year. So, you know, the pieces are in place. You know, they got passes on the defense, a young defense. Can that secondary hold up tomorrow night? That's a big question. Like, the ceiling, the talent is there. CeeDee Lamb, to me, is just a phenomenal player. He's going to be great this year. Amari Cooper runs the crispest routes in football, right? I give him that. But that statement is something else. Yeah, I mean, you can't make that statement on the team you're on and the production you've been given. It's just, you get into that now in a second. But let's just look at it. It was horrible watching that injury. I mean, my stomach was churning. It's just how Jerry Jones reacted to it as well. I mean, they paid the man, and I got to commend them for that because imagine that being the end of his career, and you know, and he didn't have that big contract and stuff. So I'm glad that's all sorted out and he's back. I mean, but it's like war, you know. You fall off a horse, you get back on that horse. That's the test. I mean, they've had him on pitch count in practices, throwing so many balls that, you know, holding him back. He's got that hip training he does. It's like he's set up for this, but it's like game speed and gameplay is completely different to everything else. You can't simulate it. It's impossible. Tell any rookie out there who thinks they can play football in the NFL, you can't simulate NFL football. And it's the same for Dak now coming back off this injury. If they don't protect him, it's going to be a long season for him. And that's every team. So, you know, we got to wait and see. But the ceiling for them, the talent level there. I love Dan Quinn as a defensive coordinator. If he can get them fired up defensively, then I think they can win the division and go on a deep playoff run. But then, you know, who knows then? This is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if everything goes right for them, they definitely can make a run. And it pains me to say it as a Giants fan, but they are talented. I mean, you know, to TP's point, I was sitting here. I literally had just moved into my new house, got my my big screen TV. TP knows my setup here, and I'm literally watching this game and. Yeah, and on a big screen TV, and I look and I screamed, and my wife was like, "What happened?" I was like, "I don't think you want to see this." And it's hard to root against Dak Prescott, not just because of the injury, but because he's such a good guy. He really is a good guy. And you know the tragedy that happened with his brother, it's easy to root for him, even as a Giants fan. You know what I mean? Like, I don't root for him, but it's hard not to like him. So you hope he does come back. To your point, Roger, you're absolutely right. It's hard to simulate, you know, NFL speed in practice. So, you know, maybe that first drive or two, he's got to knock the cobwebs out and the butterflies out, but then he'll probably get it back going. But, I mean, you look at that offense, the receiving core is as good as anybody's. The offensive line, if healthy, you know, you're right. Zach Martin got he's on the COVID list, but when healthy, that line is as good as any line. The running backs are as good as any set of running backs. I mean, you know, offensively, they should be able to do enough to win that division. The defense is the big problem. You know, what people forget is like before Dak got hurt, they were what, 1-3? They were historically bad. Behind in a lot of games, Dak had to throw for 500 yards every game to get them back into games. They still lost. I mean, that defense, Dan Quinn has a lot to work on. You know, bringing in Micah Parsons was a huge get for them. I wanted him on the Giants. He looks good in Dallas. They brought in Neil from the Falcons. I mean, but is that enough? I mean, the secondary was a big problem. They started to kind of figure it out in the secondary in the second half of the season. Hopefully that translates into this season, but they got a lot of work to do on the defense. I mean, they think it's improved. We'll see. But, I mean, back to the receiving core. I got to bring it back to TP because he brought it up, and I definitely wanted to touch on it. Cooper, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because he said, in my mind, I think I'm the best receiver. And he didn't have it as a slight to anybody, but it's a mentality of what you should go out there and think you're the best, right? But, I mean, does anybody really believe? I thought he was super talented when he was in Oakland, now Las Vegas Raiders. But I just hadn't seen enough of in Dallas to say that, you know, definitively he's like one of the more elite receivers in the league. TP, I mean, where do you put Amari Cooper on the list of top receivers in the game right now? If you're on mute, take yourself off mute, TP.
Okay, I think we may have lost.
Yeah, I think we lost. TP, are you on?
He's still here.
He's well, yeah. Okay.
Wait, it broke up. Say it again.
No, there you are. We lost you for a minute. Because it was your subject about Amari Cooper. Where do you rank him in with the receivers?
He's
I mean,
the top
I, nobody
he's
here.
In the top he's not even in the top 10. He's not even in the
so
top
we're, 10. We're talking like Jay-Z, you were top 10 to not mentioned at all? is that what we're saying?
It's up
but
your flow. This dude is garbage. What you trying to kick knowledge? Y'all going to learn to respect these things. Don't be the next contestant on Jerry World screen because you know who. Did you know what? Do you
did
know
you
who?
Know
what's
what?
That between
who?
Me and Dak for now? Okay? Stop. Not the dude that the Raiders gave up on. Not the dude that says that he gives up in the middle of second down plays and just watches things happen. There's been games where he'll go off for like a 200-yard game and turn around with 19 yards receiving off of three catches and think that's exceptional as a one. as a number one. That's disgusting, let alone you know everybody in the country is watching you because you're on the Cowboys. That is disgusting. I get it, like the motivation to motivate yourself to be a number one receiver in the league, but come on. Let's be real here.
You know what?
Serious.
You know what I think, guys? Sorry.
Well, go ahead.
Do you know we got this influx now of Alabama receivers, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, you know, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle's coming. You know, like, he's supposed to be like the Ellis Statesman, Amari Cooper, I can run the routes, I'm the Alabama receiver. I think, like, these kids are, like, set for takeoff, all of them. And I think he's going to be, like, wondering where does he stand among, you know, the Alabama receivers. So he's just going to make an outlandish statement like that, and I think it's just crazy to make. I mean, you can't, okay, if he's DeAndre Hopkins, then make that statement. You know, you kind of made some crazy catches last year, and you went over the last couple of seasons, but I mean, come on.
You know, Roger, you bring up a great point. I don't even think he's, like, top 10 of Alabama receivers right now. Like, he might be in the he's probably in the back end of the top 10.
He's top 10 Alabama guys because some of these guys have not done as much at the pro level. But here's what he has been, though. He's going to eventually get passed up by both these guys, Gallup and Lamb, on the field. But here's what he has been. You got to think, like, it takes bringing in a veteran guy at times to be able to help these guys learn to watch tape and be that kind of model. Like, he's been very good for that club and been a good veteran presence on that team. Now, he's not top 10, no way, and he's going to start to fall off. But he has been – that was a good move for that franchise to pick him up as a receiver and to have him there to help in the aid of those other guys coming behind him. Because unlike quarterback, where Brett Favre was like, I don't want to train Aaron Rodgers and vice versa, we got quarterbacks doing that. Like, receivers, you understand that you're going to have multiple of them on the field, and if everybody's on the same page, it's going to make everybody's job easier and make it more likely for people to be able to eat, right? So I think Cooper's been very good in that respect for that team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm looking at the list, like Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, Amari Cooper. I don't know. I mean, with TP's argument, you know, Raiders gave up on you. You were drafted number like in the first round, and they gave up on you. Like, I don't know. Listen, it's neither here nor there. I mean, the rookies, they got a lot to prove. But, you know, maybe one season they might be a little bit better. You never know. But, I mean, listen, I'm glad he thinks he's the number one. We know it's not true. But, I mean, he has to have that mentality. Go ahead.
I think he's got the ability in the route running. His route running is probably the best. I think he's proved that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, to say that, I mean, production-wise, you can't outright say it. But I think his skill set is off the charts. I mean, his route running is well known to be, you know, I think other receivers will give him props for that. I think that's well known in the league just from what I've read, from what I've heard, you know, over the years. Like, he's known for that. He's known for his route running ability, and I think he's put on games, but it's like those games were like twice a season, or like two pieces. You know, he'd have 200 yards and three touchdowns 1 week, then go and have a 19-yard game. You know, it's like you've got to be consistent with it, like Megatron was, and you know. So it's like he can do it, but can he do it with the supporting cast he's got now as well? I think having CeeDee Lamb is going to help him out, I think. And you know, you've got like Michael Gallup as well. There's like, just see what they can do. I mean, see if they can help him out a bit. But I'm not going to say that he can't do it, but I'm just saying it. I mean, come on. You could have done.
It's like he should be.
That, like,
he should be. Like, everybody knew when he came out of college he was legit. He should be a top guy. He's just not consistent enough. I mean, serious. What is the issue with him? Is it injuries? Is it consistency? Is it the laziness that TP alluded to? Like, what are we talking about with Cooper? Why isn't he top 10?
It's all of the above. You know what I'm saying? Here's the thing. Like, you want your receivers to be consistent. You want your receivers to be able to be counted on. When you look, like, when you game plan for the Buffalo Bills, you know as soon as you turn on the film, or step on the field, you're going to have to deal with Preacher Dead. You just know. You know what I'm saying? Devontae Adams for the Green Bay Packers. You just know. Like, and so who are you stopping in Dallas on the receiving core? The first person that comes to your mind isn't Amari Cooper. It's actually CeeDee Lamb. You know what I'm saying? And so he's not even number one on his own team, let alone, you know, the rest of the league. Like, I saw that and I ignored it because I didn't want to give any type of clout, any type of shine. But, yeah, nah, come on, dude. Come on, bro.
It's funny to me. It's really funny to me. But, I mean, TP, I'm glad you brought it up because I didn't want to be the villain to do it. But, you know, I don't mind because I love hating on the Cowboys. But, yeah, I mean, CeeDee Lamb, his ceiling is way higher than Cooper's, I think. You know, he electrified his rookie year, and if it wasn't for the injury to Dak Prescott, he probably would have had a run at the offensive rookie of the year. So Gallup is a nice player. I think Cooper's better than Gallup, but, I mean, Cooper's got to prove it game in and game out. You know, the best ability is availability and accountability on the field. You know, so if you're not on the field, and then when you're on the field, you're loafing. We need winners, right, TP? Like, I can't win with them. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he's got the talent. He can be an elite guy if he wants to be. We need to see it. They gave him a big contract too. You know, I don't think it was warranted, to be honest with you. I don't think they should have paid him that big contract. But, hey, you know what? It's Jerry's world, right? We're just living in it. So call it number 929-477-2759. Here with the chefs. Call us cookout. Having a lot of fun here. That's the game that we're going to have before Sunday. I definitely want to get your handicap on the game. How do the Cowboys match up with the Bucs? I'll start with you, Sirius. How do the Cowboys match up with the Bucs? And who wins the game? Do you have a score? Do you have a prediction? Do you have a fantasy, stardom, sit-em? I don't care. Whatever you got, give it to me. I'd love to hear it.
For starters, how do the Cowboys match up with the Bucs? I don't think they do. Honestly, there's too much firepower on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. The Dallas Cowboys are without their best offensive lineman and Zach Martin, who is in the COVID protocol. You got skittish Dak Prescott coming off of an injury to his leg and his shoulder. So I don't think it's going to bode well for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, with that being said, I can't even make an excuse or reason as to how Dallas can win this game. I just can't do it. If you guys are playing fantasy football, and you know I'm in non-league myself, I'm sure the guys here and their own, you know, start all your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, if you got Tom Brady, start them. If you got Mike Evans, start him. If you got Chris Godwin, start him. If you was lucky enough to pick up Antonio Brown in the ninth round, put him in your flex spot. If you, here's what I would avoid, okay? I wouldn't play any of these defenses, though, because I think Tampa wins this one in a shootout. So I honestly think, like, the way your scoring is, if you get dinged for giving up yards or whatever it could be, I think Dallas is going to move the ball a little bit. I think after the initial, you know, anxiety sets in, I think they're going to move the football. So if you got Dak Prescott, he's worth a flyer. Obviously, you drafted Zeke Elliott in the top five, so, you know, you start your starters. I think CeeDee Lamb's going to play well. This is going to be a high time for Amari Cooper to back up whatever, you know, stuff he was on that made him say whatever he said. So, you know, he may go off a little bit as well. But this is going to be fun. I'm not sure what the over-under is. I haven't even checked it yet. I'm sure it's going to change a couple of times before kickoff tomorrow. But this is going to be a fun opener, man. And I'm excited to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for the lines myself. That's a good point. So what's the score? What do you got for the score? Oh. And it's Tampa Bay minus 7.5. That's the last line I got.
Minus 7.5?
Yeah.
I got to be a little bit more than that. You know, I think Tampa Bay wins 24.
So they cover. So you take the Bucks. Okay.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. Rodri, I'll come to you, brother. Can the Cowboys hang with the Bucks, or are they outmatched and outclassed? And Tom Brady in the home opener gets his ring, gets the flag, and gets a win.
Bro, this is one of those things I'm trying not to get caught up in, and it's like opening day. None of us have seen NFL football for like ages, especially like one with a preseason, and it's like the excitement and the crazy side of me is saying I want Dallas to really push them close, but then the reality side of me is saying like Tampa Bay's going to run out 16-point winners in the fourth quarter or something like that. You know, it's like have Dallas done enough defensively to hang with them? That's my question. Can Trayvon Diggs hang in there? You know, they got Goodwin, you know, Jordan Lewis, these guys. Can they hang with these receivers? Reggie Robinson, can they do it? And you know, Malik Hooker going in from the Colts is something I loved, and Kazee from Atlanta. So they've definitely done some work at safety. You know, Donovan Wilson as well at safety is somebody I'm interested in seeing. So it's like, can that defensive backfield play well? And they need a pass rush for that. So I'm going to say they get within the 7 points. I'm going to be quite brave and say that, because I think Jalen Smith and Leighton Van Der Esch and Micah Parsons are going to play that well against Fournette and the run, and you know that defensive line is going to be fired up. I think they're going to be fired up enough to get them close. But I think Tampa Bay wins by a touchdown. You know, I think Dallas can. You know, the talent, the guys like Gallimore and DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory. Can that's what I'm saying. Like they've built this over a long period of time. Like, and I think there's enough talent there. Week one, you know, nobody's really set in stone yet. Nobody's really into their playbook, into their offense. You know, nobody's in there yet. But it's Tom Brady at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I just think they've done enough bringing in Brent Urban, guys like that. And from I've been watching Hard Knocks as well, so I'm a bit occupied with what I've seen on Hard Knocks. It's like they got an English defensive line coach and things like that. And it's like I just really want to see the Cowboys do well in this game, just to do well. But I think Tampa Bay wins. I'm not that crazy, but I don't think it's. I think Cowboys keep it quite close. I just want to see a good game, to be honest with you, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're taking the points. All right, 7.5. That's interesting. We'll see. So Mike, I'll come to you. Give me your outlook on tomorrow's game.
So it's interesting to me. He's catching vapors off Hard Knocks, which is kind of funny.
We all do. I love Hard Knocks,
and they did a good job building it. And yeah, we all definitely watch Hard Knocks because we hadn't seen football in a while, and so now you kind of get a behind the scenes. Like it's almost like remember when HBO used to do some of the things like the training things where you up close and see some of the fighters stuff leading up to like a big fight coming up on HBO. Like they used to do that too.
Absolutely.
I mean, listen, Tom Brady, I'm really interested to see this year because they should be more in sync with all those guys coming back. And Tom Brady plays well when he needs to, for sure. And there are times that he still looks great, but there are other times that he can show some inconsistencies throwing the ball, especially if you can get some pressure to him, right? So can Dallas' defensive front do enough? I don't expect to, but I also think that just having a full stadium and a bunch of people again for the first time in a while and, like, the rings and still a lot of youth on that team, it wouldn't surprise me if it happens to be close. If it was inside of 7, I would for sure take Tampa. 7.5, it starts to get iffy. I feel like Tampa probably covers, but I think it's more like a I think you're talking more like a 38-27 type ball game, something like that. And of course, now that we say that, it could end up being like 16-7 or something stupid. So we'll see. I hope we get some points and some excitement, though, and just see some good football plays, right? That's what I want to see on both sides. And if it is fairly one sided, I want to see some athletic plays or whatever. Like, I want us to be wild and happy that football is back. And wake up going to work on Friday morning, looking forward to the weekend and saying, yeah, did you see that? Like, we know these guys are going to be good, but either they were made to look a little bit vulnerable again in week one, or, you know, Dallas is overhyped. So it'll be something to talk about Friday morning other than just our predictions. We can talk about what actually happened on the field, which will be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Tom Brady, you know, that was kind of the problem. Like, going into a Bruce Arians offense that loves to, you know, chuck and duck, and basically, like, if you ain't putting air under it, then it ain't worth it, right? And Tom Brady is more of an underneath guy, high percentage throws. Then, you know, his percentage went down having to throw it deep and, you know, threw more picks than he usually does because he's taking more risks down the field. So that's where, I think him and Bruce Arians came to Jesus and basically – kind of figured out how to play with each other within a balance of going deep and some underneath routes. So I think if he cleans that up, which is, you know, you're talking about Tom Brady cleaning up things, you know, what are we talking about? But, you know, it'd be fun to see him in the full year when they figured it out. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. Cause I think to your point, it's less about him cleaning up things, but it's fun to hear it kind of worried like that, but just more, like that whole system, that whole band. You know what I mean? Like everybody being on the same page, playing the same note at the same time. And, like, with familiarity becomes even more comfort as far as knowing and trusting these guys are going to be here and there and people are going to hit those assignments, right? So then it's interesting as they continue to balance up. This team has the weapons to really, really, you know, Time listed them earlier in the show. But this team has the weapons to really be, you know, one of the most prolific offenses. I mean, every bit as explosive, even though you got a guy doing it a little bit differently who's your trigger man. But they can put up pinball machine type numbers like what could happen in Kansas City. They might not have to because of this defense, but they're going to put up some very good numbers if Brady's consistent and the other guys on that team continue to evolve within that system. That they're going to be scary offensively.
They can't. They have the potential to be very scary. TP, I wanted to get your opinion. Do the Bucks cover 7.5? Does Dallas make it interesting? Can Dallas hang with the Bucks? Do you start them, sit them? Anybody? Anything you got, TP? I'm all ears, brother. If you're on mute, take yourself off mute. Yeah, technical difficulties with TP again. TP, if you're there, come back to us. We miss you. We love you. We need to hear you. I want to hear your take. But I listen.
TP, are you with me?
Oh, yeah, he haven't. Let me stop. Go ahead. Curse
yeah, right?
Something out there. I like it.
Exactly.
Like
we go, TP, are you with me? Now, listen, I think 7.5 is a tricky line. You know, it's always like that, you know, if you're a home team and you get less than 3 points, then you're really not a favorite. And, like, if you get, like, you know, 3.5, then you're a slight favorite. 7.5 is kind of like that borderline, too. But I would take the points. I kind of think, you know, Bucks probably will win 34-24. It might be a little closer, too. I think Dallas can score on them. I think losing Martin's going to be a huge loss for them. I think it's going to kind of wreck a couple things that they want to do running the football and maybe passing. Zach Martin is probably probably the second best guard in the game behind Nelson. So losing him is a big loss. Can't understate that, but I agree with Sirius. Don't start these defenses. Don't start the tight ends either. If you got other tight ends, put them in. I just don't think the tight ends are going to be a big factor in this game for some reason. Maybe the linebacker play. But it's going to be fun to see the Bucs get their rings, get the banner put up. It's going to be interesting to see how Tom Brady plays this year, a full season with, you know, with the training camp and et cetera. You know, I'm looking at Dak Prescott. How long is it going to take him to knock the rust off and get this offense going? Probably maybe the first drive or two is going to maybe be run heavy and relying on some play action to give him some easy throws, maybe a couple screen passes here and then to get him going. And then, you know, maybe he starts throwing it down the field, you know, kind of easing him back into it. But, you know, all indications say he's raring and ready to go. So, you know, let's see what he's got. Like, put it all together and get that offense going, because that's going to be the lifeblood of the Cowboys. It's not going to be on the defensive side of the ball. It's going to be on offense and scoring points and scoring and butching. So that's what I'm kind of looking forward to. But the Bucs, that defense, we don't give them enough credit. All starters came back, like we said, one of the better defensive lines, a very good secondary with Whitfield and company. You know, I think Dallas will score, but I think the Bucs will make it tough on them to score. I think it's not going to be easy running up and down the field on them. So, but it's going to be fun to watch. So, I don't know if anybody else has anything. TP, are you there? Is TP there? Is he there? No, he's not.
No, he's still on the line. But
he's on the line. I don't know what happened, man. We love you, though, TP. We love you, Doug. I'm literally talking about, I'm watching the Yankees implode. So embarrassing to watch.
No bullpen.
Yeah, no bullpen. Vlad Guerrero just hit a rocket into the left field bleachers off of Chapman and just gave him the hush. You know, gave him the hush. Like, I would shut them up too, because they haven't done anything in this series or in the last week and a half. They're about to play themselves out of the wild cards. There's one thing I want to actually bring up, and since Sirius is here, I definitely want to bring this to you. Le'Veon Bell is signed to the practice squad of the Baltimore Ravens. We didn't think he'd get a job. We thought, you know, with the unemployment benefits running out, that he was going to be in trouble. But he found a job, and it's in Baltimore. He's signed to the practice squad. He'll probably get moved to the 53-man roster by the time the season opens up on Sunday, with the horrific injury to JK, and then the rookie, was it Justin?
Justice Hill, he's been there for a couple of years, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, Justice Hill, my fault. He had an injury, a season-ending injury. So they brought in, I think they brought in Gurley, and I think another back too. And
Devontae,
I guess they
Murray,
thought Le'Veon.
Devontae,
yes,
Devontae Freeman they brought in.
Yes, exactly.
Devontae Freeman, Latavius Murray.
Latavius Murray got released. He didn't want to take it. Listen, they asked him to take a pay cut, Mike. And he said no.
From $3 million. And he said,
yeah,
no.
So like, yeah. You promised to pay me my money in cash. So he's like, no, I ain't taking no pay cut. So they released him. That's a ballsy move right there. I'm sure he'll get signed up. Like, he is one of the better backups in the league. He's a great 1-2 punch in New Orleans. It's unfortunate that he got released. So somebody will scoop him up
As a Saints fan, that concerns me, because I'm like, okay, who's going to play running back? You look at other guys on that team. I mean, they have something that I haven't seen. But unless it's Taysom Hill play running back if you have to, right? Like, and I understand. And I was hoping that they were done with the casualties when they let some people go earlier, and that we were ready to, you know, move forward. I hate to see this. But, you know, they also felt like they needed a second corner, and so they made a trade to get that corner today. And I got another Ohio State defensive back. So, I mean, I hope they know what they're doing at the running back position. I do feel a little better about the secondary. And at the end of the day, if you're going to compete in this league, you better feel like you got you're decent on both corners. So
yeah, I mean, listen, Saints have one of the best offensive lines. Yeah, Saints have one of the best offensive lines. So I mean, yeah, you hope it's a plug and play, but I don't like giving up. I don't like this release in Murray. I thought it was a bad look. I didn't like that at all. I thought he was a really good combination with Kamara. That's a really good backfield. I hope they know what they're doing. But to that point, serious, I mean, Le'Veon Bell finds a job in Baltimore. You can talk to me about Latavius Murray if you want, but then we can go into Bell, whichever way you want to go with it. Talk to me. Did you think Bell would have a job or take this long to find a job, and do you think it's a good fit in Baltimore?
I didn't think that he would sign in Baltimore just because I just didn't think he has anything left in the tank. I've seen this guy literally fall on his own sword and hemorrhage himself, not only financially but career-wise. And so when he came back last year, got traded last year, to the Kansas City Chiefs, I thought that particular offense and that particular situation would be the catalyst for him to kind of jumpstart his career and kind of get himself back right. But that situation went belly up, and subsequently the tweet back and forth in between he and Andy Reid and, you know, the beef that ensued after that, you know, in my opinion, left a sour taste in my mouth, and I'm sure, and I was convinced other managers and other coaches' mouths, you know, as well. Unfortunately, one man's misfortune is another man's treasure, and he finds himself in a position where he is in a one first, one second, one third type of situation, you know. So if he doesn't get it right here, then I'm not too sure where he would potentially go from there. But he does sign. He's expected to be elevated, and I'm like, yo, it is what it is. You know, people kept calling me and blowing up my phone. Yo, hey, yo, your man's in Baltimore now, and. You know, I'm not missing any sleep over it. You know, I sit there and I talk to, you know, the blogs and the stuff online and all that sort of stuff, and you know, people are trying to convince me that he has something left in the tank, and people are trying to convince me that he is the Le'Veon Bell that we, you know, drafted, you know, several years ago, and unfortunately, he's not none of that. He's not any of that. He's a body that's going to spell, you know, Gus Edwards.
Gus.
Gus a player too. You know, yeah, he's going to spell Gus Edwards a player too, and then ultimately he's going to go back to, you know, sitting on the bench, because ultimately, I think his ego and his character isn't going to allow him to sit there and just soak it up and thrive and appreciate the gift that is playing in the National Football League. So it is what it is. But yeah, I'm not missing any sleep over it. I wish him the best until he plays Pittsburgh. You know, and I really hope that, you know, TJ, you know, introduces himself to him like he used to do in practices. That's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's not the same player that took that year off and went to New York. I mean, we'll see. No. We'll see if he has anything left in the tank. I didn't think he had much to begin with. But, you know, it's gonna be interesting. You're not bringing him in there to be a starter, thank God. Mike, what's your opinion on Le'Veon?
You know, I thought it was a fit. And especially after Dobbins went down, just because, you know, he's a guy that has done things before. You know, it may be just in the past, but it is to me, it's a low risk. I think there's enough strength in that locker room. And if he doesn't fit what they're trying to do or if his character or anything else detracts from what they're trying to do, they'll just cut him. I mean, and they'll go pick somebody else off the scrap even if they have to. But I do think the guy, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I think can he also catch some balls at all coming out of the backfield? How does that work with a different speed guy there? There are some times that I think he could bring some value to that team. At what cost, you know, we'll see. I predicted that he would end up there after Dobbins got hurt because I thought that he was better than anything out there. Just like I thought Buffalo maybe should have at least kicked the tires on him, but I don't know if they even worked him out. So it's worth when you got a guy that has been that talented at any point in his career, it's worth taking a look at him and seeing what he can or cannot maybe offer to your team. And so at this point, you know, they needed him, and what you're asking him to do is not big. Gus can carry the load and do well, but he may have a speed element or an ability to go the distance more than Gus does, and maybe gives you some big playability from time to time in that backfield.
Yeah, I mean, that'll probably be that one game. He gets some nice runs and gets some nice carries, and everybody, you know, thinks, oh, my God, this was a great time. I agree with you. They'll kick the tires. If the tires ain't got no tread on it, you could easily release them. Low risk, high reward. You bring somebody else in, like Freeman or somebody, or maybe Murray. You know, maybe you bring that guy in, and then away you go. Roger, what do you think about Le'Veon Bell signing to the practice squad? Eventually he'll get elevated to the 53 for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, it's interesting what your boys are saying there. This is one of the best running backs I saw in college football, but like you said, boys, there's no way he's the same running back now. You know, the position is designed for you to just get beat up, right? I mean, that's why the position value is such a small one now. It's like you can pick running backs everywhere. They're bringing a Trent and Cannon as well as they're now in front of him, you know. And I think Tyshawn Smith is the one who's going to be talked about the most this season, just because, you know, Gus the Bus and Tyshawn, I mean, they can pick up from, you know, where J.K. Dobbins left off. But J.K. Dobbins is a talent, much higher than them. J.K. Dobbins to me is what Le'Veon Bell was in his rookie year. You know, I think it's similar, and I think Pittsburgh has got a similar guy as well. Between Dobbins and Harris, they're in their prime, and it's like it's sad to see a guy like Dobbins go down in the same way Le'Veon Bell did with his knees, you know, and knee injuries coming out of Michigan State as well. I mean, some of the runs Le'Veon made at Michigan State, I thought he was going to be the best back of all time. You could hardly deny it. He was phenomenal. And, you know, going back to Latavius Murray as well, I mean, took some guts to do that, right? I mean, in this day and age as well. But fair play, he stuck to his guns, and he ended backing down from Alvin Kamara just to make up some room, you know. And the Texans creating Courtney Wobey as well. I mean, what are they doing? I mean, the cupboard's bare there, and I don't know how they're getting rid of players. But anyway, going back to the running backs, just like it's the next man up now in this league. The offensive line is there, and you just need somebody to run behind him. Lamar Jackson's going to be doing so much. I think too much. I think that's going to be the problem. And I think with Cleveland now and, you know, Pittsburgh and that division, the Cincinnati Bengals on the rise, I think that's going to be the second best to the West as a division. I think it's such always a competitive division, but they beat each other up so much. So, it's going to be – you might even see more running backs come in, especially with COVID and stuff. It's just – yeah, I think it's going to be one of the craziest seasons we've ever had, right? I mean, last year was wild, but I think this year is going to just be that little bit extra wild. I mean, 16-man practice squads says everything to me. COVID, like, the teams, the way COVID is going to impact the season, I think, is going to be interesting. Because, like, the Denver Broncos quarterback room had to leave the building last year, and they were playing a wide receiver at quarterback. So, like, I think we're going to be seeing stuff like that more common, and it's going to be wild. I just hope college football sorts this targeting rule out. I know it's like completely off the chart of what we're talking about, but like I'm just wondering what we're going to be talking about Friday and on Monday, because those are the stories I can see, you know, coming up right now. But yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, COVID's going to be big, Rodri. I totally agree with you. Yeah. And trying to sign guys like you just signed Le'Veon Bell or Latavius Murray. I think, you know, being vaccinated is going to hold weight. It's going to be a factor. And if you bring a guy in for a tryout and sign them or not, like the first thing you're going to ask, are they vaccinated or have they been in COVID tracing or what have you? So, I mean, you know, Mike, do you think this season could possibly get wrecked with the pandemic, or you think it's going to be business as usual?
I'm here. Okay. Yeah, can you hear me? Honestly, it concerns me because there's just things we don't know. Like, we still keep hearing variants and all kinds of things. I think it's going to start off, obviously, closer to normal than last season with fans in the stands and whatever. And so I think that we'll see. I mean, what I hope is that if we start to see signs that it could be going off the rails because of things, then I hope maybe you start instituting things with players to be a little bit more restrictive, at least during game weeks. I don't know. I don't know what that looks like, you know, how far back you have to go through some of those protocols. But I don't know. I'm just going to stay positive right now and hope that we're going to see full stadiums so we can have those ruckus environments and that kind of thing that really make football fun. I think we have to be careful, and it would be bad for us to have to get away from that for an even longer period of time, because as much as people love football, we gotta we still need to get people, you know, into still going to the games. They need the asses in the stands, man. Oh, excuse my language, but we need people there. That's part of the environment on a pro level, and especially even in college. I hope everything's good, man. I think it's going to start that way, and hopefully it'll be able to stay that way.
Absolutely. That's all we're hoping for, another good year and that everything goes smoothly. We're not out of this yet, but, like, honestly, I don't want to get into political, but it's like, if you ain't been vaccinated and you're in the pros, I mean, it's – what are you thinking about, man? What are you doing? Like, it's not a personal choice. You're putting people at risk, and you're putting everybody, including yourself, at risk by not getting – well, yeah. We're going to close the shop up. We're going to close the kitchen up. You know, we're rattling the bottom of the bowl here. You know, all the food is served. Everybody's belly is full. Mike, I'm going to bring it right back to you. Give us a quick plug, a close. Any shout-outs you got as we close up the kitchen on this caller's cookout?
Man, anything with Sports City Chefs, you guys know we got merch. You're going to hear that from everybody. Barbershop on Clubhouse, Timeless, and Groove's Barbershop, and got a bunch of good things going on there. Lots of good discussions leading up to football. Be watching out for the division previews across the board, and I look forward to chopping up with more shows this week. I'll see you guys on the brunch Sunday morning.
Absolutely, absolutely. Rodri, give me a quick plug and close as we get out of here. Thank you so much for joining us on Across the Pond, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, bro. Always good to talk to you boys, and, you know, it's just a joy, to be honest with you. Real joy. Check out the blogs. We got the divisions covered on the website. Just doing mine at the moment now. Just trying to get it done before kickoff. So don't worry, it's coming. Just to say, guys, just wanted to all really enjoy tomorrow. I know last week it was great seeing, you know, the scenes of the fans back in the stadium and in the crowd and stuff like that. Just we can't take this for granted, and just feeling blessed to be a part of this, and, you know, so we could talk ball and then we go football to take our minds off certain things that's going on in life, and I think it's great, and it's good to be involved, and I'm just wishing all the best, and thanks, Romeo.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you so much, man. Love having you on the show. James and Sirius dropped a little early, but I'm sure they would say the same thing. Love being on the show. The chefs were doing it big. The website, the blog, the interviews. Get to the blog. We're previewing the season by division, so everybody's getting their stuff together. We got the baseball buffet tomorrow. Listen to that with Nate and Dave. The college tailgate is coming. It's coming back. TP Timeless loves doing it. We love talking college football, and then we also got the brunch on Sunday. So take a listen to that. But as always, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, they know.
Sports City, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Chefs.
Connecticut.